Excuse me, I'd like to inform all participants this call is being recorded. If anyone has any objections, you may disconnect at this time. Thank you. You may begin.
Okay. Welcome, everyone, and hopefully Edmund will join us shortly. I'm sorry that we picked such a terrible time for Bilal. He must not have been on the call when he picked this time. So, and we didn't think to check that, but we'll talk about that in a minute. Any changes, any suggested changes to the agenda? Okay. Let's just quickly review our meeting schedule. Obviously, we moved this one a day later, and it looks like the turnout's good as a result of that, so I appreciate everybody being flexible there.
I appreciate everyone there, Chuck. It's Adrian. Thank you for that.
Yeah, that's okay. I'm glad you're able to be on, and everybody else as well, and hopefully Edmund will join us. And our next meeting is scheduled for Tuesday the 22nd at the same time, unless we decide to pick a different time to accommodate Bilal. And then I suggested that everyone keep the 29th of January open if we need that, and we may at the same time. Now let's talk briefly about, is there any adjustment we can do to time so that it would be earlier? I never got a response back from Bilal in terms of how early he would need it to be. So I don't really have an answer there. I had sent him an email yesterday on that. So it's probably pretty tough. If we go earlier, it's middle of the night for Hong Kong, which doesn't work. So I suspect there may not be much we can do. Anybody have any suggestions there? Then I think we'll just leave it alone. If I hear back from him, we'll deal with it. We'll deal with it then. So for this meeting today, Liz will again be editor until she has to drop off about an hour and a half into the call. And appreciate that very much, Liz, and I appreciate Aubrey picking up after that. So the first thing we want to do then is to just confirm what we did last week on our call. And hopefully you have either are looking at the Google document live or you cut and paste it like I did. And the first thing we want to look at is Section A, and I'll just take that a paragraph at a time. This is in the section titled Responses to Issues Paper Questions, Section A, Interim and Overall Approach to ID and CCTLDs. The first paragraph there includes five sub-statements in it. It's a fairly long paragraph. Note that I if you look at three, you'll note that I inserted a comment in there that I thought maybe it would be a good idea to take that parenthetical statement that's in there right now and make that item four, because I think it's kind of an independent statement. What do you think about that? Is that okay? Anybody object to that?
I have a question on that.
Go ahead, Tina.
Because what is in the parentheses there, isn't that talking against your support of the CCNIDO fast track?
No.
Okay.
I don't think so. That's probably one of the things that there's been a lot of misunderstanding on. All we're saying is that we, before any names are actually put into the space, we better know what policy body is responsible for those names, right? Now,
right.
That doesn't prevent work being done on the fast track. Now, once the fast track is completed and if it's decided to implement the fast track, then it comes into play, and maybe we can word that differently so that we avoid that implication. So far, we apparently haven't been very successful at that.
Okay.
Does that make sense?
Yeah, that makes better sense to me.
Chuck, it's Adrian.
Go ahead, Adrian.
I think you certainly need to clarify, because what Tina said, I exactly thought when I read that statement the first time. So maybe to put some wording around, as you just said, that this would not impede the development of a fast-track process. However, it would impede the implementation.
You got that, Liz?
I'm just getting it now.
Anybody have any objections to, first of all, making this item number 4 in the list as a separate item, and then adding what Adrian just suggested along with what's there in parentheses right now?
So this would not include the fast-track development process, only the implementation process?
Yeah, it shouldn't impede the fast-track process at all. I guess the process, maybe process is the wrong word, the fast-track group that's currently ongoing.
That's underway.
Yeah, but it could impact implementation of any decisions that come out of that. And all we're saying, really, very simply, is that we need to make sure that this would apply to GTLDs as well. So the basic general principle here, we need to know which policy body is responsible for policy on certain IDN TLDs before they're put in the root. Otherwise, we won't know which policies apply.
Do you want to change that to allocation of any IDN TLDs as opposed to of any IDN CCTLDs?
I think that's fine. Anybody object to that? I mean, the paper that we sent to the board, I think, kind of talked about TLDs in general as well. I don't have any problems.
IDN TLDs.
Yeah, just take out the CC.
Okay. Now, this is number 4, meaning we'll have a total of 6 of things here.
Correct, so. Yeah.
Okay.
Any objections to that? Any other comments on that first paragraph, which is a very long paragraph, including those 6 items now, before we go on to the next paragraph? Then we'll say that one is confirmed. Going on to the second paragraph, which is a paragraph with 4 bullets under it there, any comments on that? Can we conclude that one? Okay, we'll conclude it. And then the last paragraph is a nice short one with just a couple sentences. Any objections to finalizing that one? Okay, so that takes care of that part of our work from last week. And then we proceeded into section B. Yes?
Ivory just sent me a note saying that she was trying to come in with some comments, but nobody could hear her, and she's going to try and call in again.
Oh, okay. Thank you. I'm obviously not looking at email right now, so.
I think this is all off. If we backtrack a little, previous 5, now recently 6, there is some yellow here from should be avoided in those exceptional cases where this is not possible, and it says rework team to come back to this language. So I just wonder, have you...
Oh, I see. Yeah. Rurik team to come back to the slab. Thank you, Olaf. I appreciate it for catching that. By the way, also notice that I added a couple edits in 5 as well. I said any such IDN CCTLDs, plural. I think that's correct wording. So let's see. Now, what, Liz, do you recall what we were talking about there?
We were going to delete it at first, I thought, and then decided that the text might be useful somewhere else, as I recall.
So we were going to delete it and then use the text somewhere else, is that?
That was my recollection, but
yeah.
Not sure.
And just... do you recall why we were going to delete that? I thought that we had pretty much agreed on this. Anybody else help us out here? Memory from last week?
Hi, I'm back.
Wasn't it so that this was it's a bit superfluous because it's mentioned earlier. I tried to, well, just have a slight recollection of that.
Where is it mentioned earlier?
I don't know. I mean, it rings a little bell somewhere.
Yeah, see if I'm just trying to skim it and see.
Where are we now?
Sorry,
I got back on.
We're on what was item 5 will now become item 6. And there's a little parenthetical in the middle there that says, we reworked team to come back to this language. It was a comment put in there by Liz. We're trying to recall from last week, were we going to delete that language? I don't recall that, but we're just trying to find somebody that's got some recall there. Didn't we pretty much finalize this language in those exceptional cases where this is not possible? And then with my edits, any such ID and CCTLDs must be governed by a contract that contains similar conditions to those contained in GTLD contracts.
Yeah, I think we did.
Okay.
I agree, Chuck.
So let's just, so we can just get rid of the parenthetical then.
Yeah.
Thanks for catching that, Olaf. I appreciate it.
Can I ask, I was trying to speak.
Yeah, that's what I heard.
On the last topic.
I'm sorry, we're already past there.
Okay, forget it.
Go ahead, please.
I was just wondering what wording you came up with. I may have nothing to say.
Oh, what wording for what? I'm sorry. Oh, for,
the impeding of the IDNC working efforts.
Yeah.
It's live on the Google Docs. I think she's already made the changes.
Yeah, go ahead and read that. You can go ahead and read it, Liz, if you want.
Oh, that's number 4?
Yes, number 4.
Apportionment of the namespace between GTLDs and CCTLDs should be determined prior to allocation of any IDN TLDs, and this should be done jointly by the GNSO and CGNSO. I can take out that for N. Hang on. This would not impede the fast track effort that is currently underway, but could have an impact on the implementation process.
I was trying to suggest alternate wording, but if you guys are all fine with that, I can go away. I was just sort of,
Yeah, feel free to suggest it. Maybe we like yours better.
What I was going to suggest, this would not impede the IDNC working group efforts to create a fast track mechanism, but could impede the deployment of that mechanism.
I like that. What are people? What are the rest of you think?
To create a fast track mechanism,
but could impede the deployment of that. The deployment of that mechanism.
Got it.
Okay. Good. That was good.
Sorry, I fell off. For some reason, Skype just blocked me from being able to speak. Or they did, so I'm calling on my cell phone now.
Okay. And sorry about that from a cost point of view. And then there were no comments on the second paragraph with 4 bullets. Did you have any, Aubrey?
Nope.
And then the small paragraph at the end, there were no comments. So we basically then have finished that part of the document. Then last week we also got to Section B there. And the first general question, general issues regarding IDN CCTLDs, and we had under A, should this relationship be maintained? Our proposed GNSO response was yes, mapping to the ISO 3166-1 list must be maintained. Can we say that one's done? For B, we will then. B is our very simple response to that question there. It was yes. Any comments on that? Okay, going on to C, the proposed response was not applicable. The GNSO supports continued use of the list there. Now, I suggest some change wording there, so I have a suggestion there. As you can see, the GNSO supports continued reference to the ISO 3166-1 list. And my reason for that, as I say there, is that the list itself cannot be used for IDN CCTLDs.
Can we use mapping to the, as opposed to reference
sure,
to the?
Sure. That's fine. Anybody have a problem with that? Is that change in wording then with Aubrey's edit okay?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So now we pick up where we left off then last week. and we go to D. The question then is, and again, like, let me say this again like I did last week. I'll probably try to move fairly quickly, slow me down where I need to be slowed down. I think what we're going to find as we go through this is that there are some general principles that we're going to come to that will apply in other places below, and that hopefully will facilitate us moving along at a good pace.
I think this might have been the place that Olaf was referring to, that at this point we had already spoken about this one.
Yes, but
we didn't finish
indeed,
it,
that's,
right.
That's probably the connection which I...
Right. Then when we got here, you said, but we already talked about that up there. So.
Oh, I see what you're saying. Yeah, gotcha. Okay.
But we need to get the answer in.
Yeah. So should anything be done about CCTLDs already being used as GTLDs? And the first part, you can see the first part of the original GNSO response there, or proposed response, was that this seems to be an issue primarily concerned for the governments associated with individual CCTLDs. Now, let me comment. One of the things, if you reviewed some of the comments or just remember them previously, there's quite a bit of concern expressed in various comments with regard to too much talk about government involvement here and government sovereignty and things like that. And there seems to be a consistent theme there, and it comes into play right here. So in the subsequent parts of this answer to D, does anybody have a suggested way of rewording our response here?
Maybe it's, just thinking aloud, but maybe if we talk about communities associated with individual CCTLDs.
Does that work?
I don't know.
I mean, it seems like a good possibility to me. I'm asking others to comment. So in other words, we would say this seems to be an issue of primary concern for the communities associated with individual CCTLDs. Arbor, you were one of the ones that had a concern for governments. Does that work for you?
Could you read it again? I'm not sure.
This seems to be an issue of primary concern for the communities associated with individual CCTLDs. Or should we just leave that out entirely? Not even... we don't have to respond to this question.
Okay, go ahead.
No, you go ahead, Avery. I'll pick up after you.
Okay. Thanks. And as we had already said that for future ones, that there was a concern about contractual conditions for something that would be used as a GTLD. Now, imposing that and sort of post facto is a difficult thing to say, but isn't that sort of what we want to say?
That it should impact the existing ones as well?
Kind of. It's kind of what we always sort of do when we're doing something within the GNSO,
yeah.
And we start talking about, you know, a new policy for future TLDs. We would also say, but wait a second, you know, and how do we have a consistency between old and new? So since we do believe that anything that would be a GTLD-like in the future should be controlled by contractual conditions, don't we actually believe that that could happen, even though we see no way in which it could?
Yeah, and I call everybody's attention to Edmund's comment there, especially the last part of it, where he says, you know, is this really a fight we want to pick at this point in time? I think he's probably got there's some validity to that.
And I guess my answer to that would be yes.
Yeah, I agree with Avery. Chuck, it's Adrian. From what I understand, I think we have to look at how this is going to play out in reality. And try to deal with those with that reality. And from my understanding, and from the discussions I've had, and tapes I've listened to, et cetera, MP3 or whatever it is, it certainly seems like to me that the government is the only way to go. And I think we should be supportive of that,
I'm not sure Aubrey's suggesting that the government way is the way to go. Are you, Aubrey?
Not at all.
No, well, I'm not necessarily agreeing with Avery on that point, meaning Okay, let me say, like, well, I don't see how it can be any other way, and I don't know. Avery, can you explain to me why it shouldn't be government?
Well, first of all, I mean, there is no tight linkage between CCTLD and government, and I don't know that we as a...
But we're not talking CCTLD, we're talking IDNC, and they're two completely different beasts as far as I'm concerned. As far as my understanding is, the IDNs are going to be given in a completely different manner. They're sort of saying, well, okay, we can't repeat the problems of the past and give these out in an ad hoc basis to universities and so on, to individuals and so on and so forth, as we did with CCTLD. So IDNs are now, we're starting afresh, and we'd like everyone to have a contract with ICANN, and we're going to use government entities as that springboard.
Okay, I think everything up through that last sentence I agreed with. And I don't know that there's been any sort of agreement. I know there's been discussions, but any sort of agreement on either of the two last clauses. One, yes, we believe that the contracts should be used with ICANN, but I'm not sure that they all agree to that. And then B, that I don't know that the CCNSO or, you know, certainly people in the GAC would like governments to be used as a springboard, but I also don't know that the GNSO necessarily buys into that governments need to be that springboard. I don't know that we wanted to take a position on that it should be governments per se. Maybe we do as a GNSO. I mean, personally, I would prefer to leave that one open on what is the springboard. While I totally agree with the fact that from the GNSO perspective, we would want to say that there should be contracts with ICANN.
With Adrian's comment, I start seeing the question in a slightly different light. That we were talking previously about the possibility of backtracking, but maybe we could, the question can certainly be interpreted as should anything be done concerning IDN CCTLD in relation to CCTLDs already being used as GTLDs. That's a different way of viewing the question, actually, and the answer is probably different as well.
The more I look at this, the more I wonder why they're asking that question in this context, in the context of this overall document, because this is about IDN CCTLDs.
But that question isn't. That question is about .tv and .nu.
Exactly. That's my point.
Exactly.
Why
I agree.
Why is this question being asked here?
Actually, we could come up with an easy answer for this one, and that basically say that these already existing GTLDs should be governed by the same rules that will govern new CCTLDs. New IDN CCTLDs or whatever we're calling them.
But that's not going to be true of other... the IDN rules that they come up may be very different than the rules for ASCII CCTLDs, so I don't think that necessarily...
And there's no way you're going to get these, because these guys don't have agreements with... Because of the way it was done, they can't enforce any changes or anything. So I guess I'm trying to look at the reality, is that there's no way you're going to be able to go back and retrospectively get any current CCTLDs to change in any way. That's not possible.
Do
we know that it's completely impossible, and does it really matter in terms of what we believe should happen, whether at the moment we don't see a way for it to happen?
But I don't think there's any... We don't need to be putting down ideologies here. We need to try to deal with what's reality, was my original point. I understand what you're saying and what would be ideal, but I don't think there's any point in listing that if it's never going to be a reality.
Well, what if we were to... Now, I think there's some things down below we say that might still be useful, but what if we just restrict these first couple responses to just what we already... what Olaf suggested, the change in the first response there, and just say this seems to be an issue of primary concern for the communities associated with individual CCTLDs.
I could live with that.
And then we would delete that next black text where it says if it is agreed by that the associated governments, et cetera. And then now let's look, though, at that last section there real quickly. In that regard, though, it seems appropriate that any ID and CCTLDs added should be done for the sole purpose of benefiting the applicable local CCTLD language community or language communities as applicable, and so on.
Isn't that the answer to the next question?
Yeah.
The answer, right.
I think you're right.
I think we're answering that in the next question. I think if I like where Olaf was going, if that's all this question is, let's leave it with that opening sentence, and then the last part that you just read is actually the answer to should an IDN CCTLD string be meaningful.
Yep. That's the broader question. There's some sub questions, so it's up.
Are you
with us, Liz?
Yes.
Anybody opposed to that approach? So we have a very simple answer to. D, it's just that one sentence, and we change governments to communities. And then that text, the last black text there under D, we're going to use here coming up shortly. Okay, so you can just highlight that for us to move it where we want it later. Because I think that there is some meaningful, that's, I think, fairly well written right there, that section, if we can use it. So now we go then to should an ID and CCTLD string be meaningful, and we go down to question A, which is there an obligation to make the ID...
Quick question.
Yes, go ahead.
Looking at the live text, that whole paragraph in that... Oh, okay, it's gone. Never mind.
Okay, all right. Question A, then, is there an obligation to make the ID and CCTLD string meaningful in its representation of the name of a territory? For example, whereas .uk is meaningful because it is a commonly used abbreviation for the United Kingdom, .au is not meaningful because the commonly used abbreviations for Australia are Oz or AUS. First of all, I'd like to just start some kind of general discussion on this. Correct me if I'm wrong, but I think the intent of at least the people that work on the group that I led to develop these original responses, the whole idea of suggesting that it should be meaningful was actually a means to make sure that it's restricted, which is, I think, one of the things we've come to agreement on, making sure that we're limiting and that it's... And I also think that that's the intent, for example, in the fast track. Edmund sent around to the council... A draft document for the fast track, and I highlighted one thing for my own use. With regard to string selection, what they have in there is that the string must be a meaningful representation of the name of the territory or an abbreviation of the name of the territory in the relevant script. That starts to narrow it down in a way that I think is where we were trying to go.
Yeah, it sounds good.
That seems palatable to me.
So, in fact, we may want to use the wording right out of their draft document.
That'd be good.
So, want me to read that again for you, Liz? Okay.
So, what I had done at first was move the... paragraph that we just took out of the preceding question into this. I don't think that belongs there. I thought it was. I think it's just a deleted sentence at this point.
Well, let's find. I think we'll come back to that. I think we're going to have to find out if we move that somewhere and where, whether it goes right here or not. Notice that the broad question, should an ID and CCTLD string be meaningful, has several sub-questions, and so we may actually find a place to put that, or we may delete it. But let's just leave it hanging for right now. So with regard to this question, is there an obligation to make the ID and CCTLD string meaningful in its representation of the name of a territory? It seems to me that would be a good place for what I just read out of the draft document, which says the string must be a meaningful representation of the name of the territory or an abbreviation of the name of the territory in the relevant script.
Okay. Yeah, I agree, Chuck.
Okay.
Okay, one more time, please.
Okay. The string must be a meaningful representation of the name of the territory or an abbreviation of the name of the territory in the relevant script.
Got it.
Okay.
Just a quick comment. Just a quick comment from all of you, then this may be core to the whole issue of apportionment between CC and G.
My own opinion, I think you're right. If in fact that's where the CCNSO is going, my own opinion is that that will help a lot to deal with the concerns that we're having from the GNSO perspective.
Now, I think that may be just where they're going for the fast track.
Yeah, and if that's true, then my statement is not accurate, okay? And you could be right, although I think they're trying to be as consistent in the fast track as they can to the extent that they know where they're going on the bigger policy effort. So.
Yeah, no, and I think if this is what was there and this got codified and blessed and made formal, then I think you're right. There'd be very little to argue about.
Now, my understanding is the issues paper that we're responding to is really for the larger policy effort,
yep,
more so than it is the fast track.
Oh, yeah. Completely.
There were quite a few comments on this one. Does anybody want to comment any more? Are you satisfied with that response? I'm just kind of glancing ahead. B says, if so, how is meaningful determined? We'll come back to that in a minute. Right. I wanted to see. I guess that's the only two sub-questions. So let's decide whether we want to do anything with that text that was...
I only have one question.
Go ahead.
If some territory wanted its CCTLD, two characters, merely translated into their alphabet because they were used to XI, even though XI means nothing to them and isn't a well-known abbreviation for the country name, would our answer allow it?
Well, to the extent that a script, you know, would allow that kind of thing from happening, I can't see why we would oppose that.
Right, but I'm just saying, does our answer allow for it?
It may not, and it's a good point. But let's first of all, before we try and maybe modify our answer to accommodate that, if that's what we want to do, any other comments on that? Does it seem reasonable to allow that?
Very quick one on it from me. I mean, if we take meaningful to also encompass the existing CCTLD abbreviation.
Oh, good idea.
Well, then it has, well, grown in meaningfulness then to the community, and for that reason, they transliterated.
Oh, and we could include that below in the how is meaningful defined.
Yeah.
Right.
Maybe.
Okay. So, now going back to that section, in that regard, though, it seems appropriate for any ID and CCTLDs added should be done for the sole purpose of benefiting the applicable local CCTLD language community or language communities as applicable. For example, a fictitious ASCII CCTLD.XI, by the way, there is no .XI, serving a territory called Island X, an IDN CCTLD for XI should only be added using a specific script that is used by an Island X language community, and the purpose of that CCTLD should be to serve members of that particular language community on Island X, including any that may be located elsewhere in the world. An IDN CCTLD for .XI should not be added to serve a generic global purpose, i.e. making it a de facto GTLD. Now, my own opinion, there's some value in fitting this thing somewhere because it adds a little bit more definition to the restriction of what these things are going to be. But what do you guys think?
Well, for once, it's also adding a definition of what is a relevant script.
So it may belong under part of the discussion of meaningful.
Yeah, well, that's what we thought previously. We just got to figure out where to fit it. But first of all, do you agree that the points made in this section, other than the in that regard though, which was just a lead-in part, is something we want to say?
Doesn't seem a bad thing to say. I think it's confusing sometimes reading it, but
yeah, it was kind of hard to
right.
write it because, and that's where we went to an example because to try and illustrate it.
I think this is all that Chuck. I think it's hard to read, but I think it's a good example too, and I would like to have this wording.
Okay, and maybe you guys can help fix the wording so that it's not so hard to. But so then the next question is, where does it fit? We have two sub-questions under should an ID and CCTLD string be meaningful? Does it go under A or B, or does it matter?
Actually, leaving it under A is probably okay.
So we would...
I didn't think so at first, but...
After the other response that we already put in from their draft paper, is that what you're saying?
Yep.
Okay. Anybody opposed to that? Liz, are you with us on it?
Yep.
Okay. And of course, like we're doing each week, we'll come back and look at this at the beginning of our meeting next week and how it ended up and do a final approval on that.
And then I assume the next sentence comes out completely because that was the previous answer to this question.
Hold on a second. Let me see. Oh, yeah, you're talking about the ID and CCTLD should be meaningful. Yeah, we just replace all of that. Yeah,
that's what I thought.
In fact, there's two sentences.
Chuck, this is Olga. I think this ID and CCTLD string should be meaningful and so on could be a response to B. How is meaningful determined and by whom? Perhaps.
Thoughts on that?
Possibly, but I would hope we could tone down the sovereign part.
I would take out the government's choice. I would say community's choice or something like that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it does kind of relate to the B.
Yeah, I think taking out in the scripts of the sovereign government's choice, if you take that clause out, I think it is fine.
Yeah.
And would that replace what we have under B right now?
Yes. I would replace it, yes.
Okay. Any problems with that? Did you get all that, Liz?
Yes.
Thank you. You're keeping up with us really well. Okay. Now, we go to how many ID and CCTLDs per script per territory. This may involve a little more discussion. Question A there is, should there similarly be only a single ID and CCTLD for a given script for each territory, or can there be multiple ID and CCTLD strings? For example, should there be only one equivalent of .cn in Chinese script for China, or .ru in Cyrillic for Russia? Now, let's make sure we're first of all understanding the question, and I'm asking that of myself, so maybe all of you understand it well. Are we talking about, for example, two different simplified Chinese versions for the associated with the .cn country code? Is that what they're asking here? Are they talking about, I don't think they're talking about a situation like India where they have multiple scripts that apply.
No, this is for a single script, and well, that begs the question then, perhaps it's easier to address concerning Russia, because you've got a Cyrillic there, and should you have two Cyrillic IBM CCTLD for Russia? That's how I read the question. When it comes to Chinese script, well, given that they have simplified and complete, that becomes a bit more tricky, really.
And in fact, the more I think you're right, Olaf. I don't know what others think. I'll give you a chance to jump in a minute. But I actually think then that when we, as the previous group, in responding to this question, did not interpret it that way. And hence you see the response that you see there. So maybe, is this just a simple matter of yes? Answer of yes?
Chuck, it's Adrian.
Go ahead.
I don't know if I'm being pedantic or whatever, but for example, should there be only one equivalent of .cn in Chinese? I don't think anyone's talking about an equivalent of .cn here. With respect to IDN, there is no such thing as an equivalent to a two-letter. We're using the 3166 as a reference as far as which territories are allowed, but there's no such thing as an equivalent .cn. Am I being too pedantic there?
No.
The question's wrong. The question's wrong.
They worded the question poorly.
Right.
Okay.
But it is just one entry per ISO 3166-1 per script.
So maybe we could write that as our answer. When we say yes, instead of just saying yes, say yes, we believe there should be one entry per 3166, just to make sure we're 100% clear.
Per relevant script.
Yes. One per territory as defined by 3166 per script, yes.
Okay.
Does that make sense?
And just so you know, there actually is an equivalent of CN in China in Chinese, and there is an equivalent for .ru as well for Cyrillic. So for those two specific examples, you can actually talk about the equivalent. Now, on a global scale, you can't.
So the question is okay for those two scripts. Thanks, Tina.
For those two examples, yeah.
Okay, and I didn't know that. So I knew it for Rush, for Cyrillic, because that's been one that's been in the discussion recently.
Yeah, China has two characters as well.
Yeah. So, Liz, were you able to capture the response there?
I just got, there should, the GNSO believes there should be
one IDN CCTLD.
Oh, no, stop tweeting that differently. It's not an IDN CCTLD.
Right,
IDN string, perhaps.
Right. One string per ISO 3166 entry per script.
Relevant script.
Per relevant script. Right, and then we have later questions in how many scripts, and then we get to answer that further.
Yeah, right. So that just replaces the big long paragraphs there that they can just go because we were responding to the wrong question there. And up until this point, I didn't even realize that. So.
Okay, so we're not going to use that text anywhere else?
I don't think so.
Okay.
Well, we seem to be heading to more short answers.
Mm-hmm. So now we're going on to B, which says, could there be several IDN strings for a territory in a script? If so, who would determine the number and what are the criteria? And we had quite a bit of discussion on that, as you can see there, or several comments anyway, and the previous response was if multiple scripts are used in a territory and if it is judged that those scripts will add value to the user experience, then the sovereign government, we got that again, we'll fix that, should make the choice of which scripts and what number of scripts will be in use for IDN CCTLDs. It's easy to fix the sovereign government thing, but let's talk about the the question of whether we believe. Now, I think we may have answered this last week, because didn't we come to a conclusion last week that, well, I guess this was, or maybe this wasn't in this group, this was in the council, maybe, or...
No, I think we did it in this group.
Okay, didn't we decide that on an exception basis, that we're okay with an exception basis for multiple scripts? Can you...
Right, multiple scripts when there was community need, essentially.
Yes.
Yeah, that's right, yeah. And we, didn't we tie it in some way to national policy? Wasn't that a suggestion?
Yes, that's right. When it was when national, was it national policy or government? I know we quibbled over the word national versus government. I think right, maybe we did do it in the.
I know I'm mixed. Of course,
in the council, we've had this conversation so many places.
Yeah. So it could be related to the letter to the board, too. So anyway, so let's, regardless, I think we've got a sense of what we probably want to say here. Let's see if we can put it into words. Anybody want to take a stab at it?
Yeah, I'm just looking for the statement where we wrote it.
Yeah.
I do believe I have it.
Okay. Because I think that was worded pretty well. While she's looking, anybody not able to follow what we've been talking about on this so far? So I think what we're saying is that you know, in cases where there's national policy with regard to multiple scripts, that it might be appropriate to have multiple ID and strengths associated with one ISO 3166-1 code. We just have to be able to put that in words. If you know, so what I'm asking right now is there any disagreement on that statement that's not worded very well yet?
Well, Chip, I don't know if I'm misunderstanding something, but I think the question is still about one script and not multiple scripts.
Oh.
Isn't this about...
So how is this question different than A?
I think this is about variants, maybe. I don't know.
Could there be several IDN strings or a territory in a script? Because it does say a script, doesn't it, Tina? You're right on that. But then that seems like the same question in A. This must be why we got confused the first time around on this.
Well, do you think that script is close to mean... string? No.
No.
No,
I
you're right.
It's Gina's perfectly right, and we've sort of lost track of what the question was.
But how is B then different, other than the second question, how is B different than A?
Well, I think we can recycle the answer to A and make it clear what the thoughts are.
There's no harm in clarifying the question in your answer, Chuck, because if you're just going to repeat above, I think it's a waste of time. I think you are answering a valid question. So why not we've interpreted the question as such, and as such, here is our answer, just in case that's what they meant.
You're right.
Okay.
Because I think it's pretty clear what they meant, given the question above. It's a lead, one before is a leading question.
Yeah, I think that the slight nuance and difference between them is focused in the word equivalent. And in the first one, they're saying in equivalent of .cn, and then here it's saying, can we have, you know, several different names for it in a script that aren't necessarily equivalent. So, for example, and this is in extended ASCII, but is .oz the same as .australia? And could you have, okay, you got .australia, but could you have .oz too? You know, in extended ASCII, that one doesn't work because someone else may have OZ. But what I'm saying is I think that the difference between these two questions is focused on the word equivalent. And this question sort of says, well, no to more than one equivalent, but how about several variants of our name? Could we have, you know, .us, .usa, .United States of America if we used other scripts?
Well, we're gonna say later on, assuming that we keep it that way, that the same thing that the IDN working group said is that variants should be avoided. And by that doesn't mean, you know, in other words,
right,
same thing as the IDN working group said. So I think we're going to cover the issue of variants.
So I think here we want to say pretty much the same thing, that there should still only be one.
You know, if it was me, I would postpone it to the next call, and meanwhile have someone check with the CCNSO and what the difference is between those two questions.
Now, they do ask the question, who would determine the number and what are the criteria, but if we say no, that's an irrelevant question anyway. So, Tina may be right. Now, the question is, Tina, are you working with the CCNSO on their work?
I am.
So you might be a natural to get clarity on that question for us. Would you be willing to do that?
Absolutely.
Once again,
yeah,
I pick on you when you bring something up.
the question is, what is the difference between these two questions?
Right. So if you could do that, that would be great.
Okay.
Thanks a lot.
But I think in the meantime, we could just sort of temporarily just copy the answer we have from the first one into the second one so we remember kind of where we are, but put it in brackets.
Is that okay, Liz?
I didn't catch it exactly which text, though.
The answer we ended up with for A.
Okay.
Now, we probably won't leave it literally verbatim, even if we find out that they are the same question. I don't know, or we'll just say C above, but that's that'll be a placeholder for now, so no, we know where we're at, in brackets for B. Okay? Going on to C. If an IDN CCTL string is not applied for whatever reason, should an IDN CCTL string that could be associated with a particular territory be reserved or protected in some way? Now, the proposed response that was there was basically referring back to what the Reserve Names Working Group did in the GNSO, noting a difference, though, in this regard. Now, and the discussion's important to look at the comments that are there from, looks like, four different ones of us that comment on that. With reserve lists, I agree with Aubrey that a reserve list, well, let me back up a second. It seems to me, judging by comments as we proceed through this document that people have put in a long time ago, that we may be heading towards the suggestion that there be a list of what the IDN strings for CC course mapping to the 3166 list are. And if that's the case, isn't that going to become a reserve list?
Not necessarily. There's sort of a difference between a list of available names and designating it as reserved. I mean, there is a difference between those two.
Well,
and so one can create a list saying these are the list of names that, you know, make sense for you to pick one of, versus these are the list of names that are reserved. Now, we may want to, you know, someone may come up and say, no, there should be a reserved name list, and then we have to take that back to the, you know, then we have to discuss what the GNSO's view on it. But the GNSO did already pretty much go through a decision procedure that said we don't agree with any reserved name list.
But we did agree to reserving at the top level the two-letter the two-letter names. So if, in fact, we support IDN TLDs corresponding to those two-letter names, why wouldn't we also reserve those?
I suppose if this, you know, this community-wide decision were made that they should be reserved and that the GNSO was part of making that decision, then I suppose we would support it. Yeah.
Yeah, and that's all I'm getting at. So
right. So if we said something like, if the ICANN community at large were to decide that, you know, a reserve list should be created for, then yes, otherwise no, I don't.
So I think it sounds like there are two separate but related issues here. One of them is, until such time that the IDN strings are determined that map to the 3166 list, should there be a reserve list? And secondly, once they are determined, should there be a reserve list, at least on the GNSO side, although I'm not sure they're not too concerned. Well, I'm sure they are concerned about what we do on our side, too. So am I was that a correct interpretation to suggest that there are two parts to this?
Well, the only reason they would want a reserve list would be to keep GETLDs from taking them.
Chuck,
it's Adrian.
Go ahead.
In my discussions, I had a chat with Chris Despain about this the other day, and I'm of the understanding that the CCNSO, and this is just a chat with Chris Despain, between me and him, obviously, that they're only concerned about their IDNs and that anything outside of that they're referring and relying upon the arbitration process in the GNSO, and they're confident that that will hold them in good stead, if that makes sense.
Mm-hmm.
So I mean, I don't know whether if you've heard the same thing, but I take Chris as a pretty good authority that in this case there would be no need for a reserve list.
Well, you mean once they determine what the IDN strings are?
Correct. Sorry, outside of their determined IDN, the ones they're going to get, they can't go ahead and block anymore. They don't want to go ahead and block anymore. For example, they might decide .qa for Qatar is fine, but .qapar, they're going to leave. If someone goes for it, they'll just block it. And he's adamant that that's the approach they're taking, relying on the arbitration process of the GNSO.
Now, let's go back to the question at hand. It says, if an IDN CCTLD string is not applied for. Now, that makes it sound like there's this possibility of an ongoing, that the list is going to be made up of those that are applied for and approved. Okay. So that if something's not applied for, it's not on the list, and so what they're asking is, should other names be reserved? That sounds like it becomes an almost undoable situation.
Well, no, because what they're saying is, if no one's applied for it yet, that's okay, because as soon as somebody that's not them does apply for it, they'll raise the objection flag on it. And then when they're ready to apply for it in 5 years, they'll follow whatever process has been agreed to apply for it.
That's right,
Now, I've had conversations with Yanis Calkins, who is basically, I think we're going to have the reserve list. So there may be a difference of opinion on this one between GAC and CCNSO position. And that may be where the question comes out, is that in that dialogue, because I know Yanis came to me at the end of, I think it was the NLA meeting, and said, you know, I think we're just going to get to the point where we have to have a reserve list.
That's
going to be a GAC view. They're not saying they've done that. That was just similar to your conversation with Chris, sort of a conversation.
Yeah, I hear what you're saying, Avery. Can I be pedantic again and say, if an IDN CCTLD string is not applied for, I think applied for is different. I could apply, or Australia could apply for 3,000 IDN CCTLD strings and not be successful for any of them. So does that mean that I'm covering all those?
Well, I think when a country or a CCTLD applies for one, they expect to be successful.
That's right. They expect to be. But, you know, they're setting up some rules to say that they may not be. So I just want to cover ourselves and say I think it needs to be applied for and successful in you know, being allocated.
And granted.
And granted. Exactly right.
Well, let's for a moment look at the response that's already there. Okay, it may not be sufficient, but is it okay? What's said there?
I think it pretty much is. Yeah, my dear.
Others? Anybody object
to
what?
Reference four above.
Excuse me? Yeah, if you go to the very, that's the Reserve Names Working Group report, I think. At the very beginning of the document, there were four documents that were referenced to make it easy to refer to them. Now, if we want to do that a different way, we can, but that's the way it was.
I just wanted to be sure it wasn't something in the text.
No, at the very beginning of this document, there are four documents referenced.
Great.
New TLD recommendations, Reserve Names Working Group, I think, and the IDN Working Group report, and probably the board resolution asking for feedback. Without scrolling up there, that's all from memory, so hopefully I got that right. Okay. Now, do we need to add anything else to this then?
I've got just a comment, and I don't think we should add it, but just recalling a little study I did myself, and noting that there may be reasons to have a reserve list for a different reason than reserving it for the use, but rather that confusing similarity may call for example, reserving two-letter or two-character Cyrillic and Greek scripts because of confusing similarity with existing CCTLDs. There are around about 50 such, especially if you use capital characters in Cyrillic and Greek.
So you're saying that a reserve name list should be created for the purpose of
Avoiding
similarity.
Confusing similarity, but that can be dealt with in other ways as well. So it's just a comment. It's slightly beside the point.
Yeah, it doesn't fit here, but it may be an issue.
Yeah, I see that as becoming what we had talked about in these groups, is that there was this list of names that had been objected to and rejected. That weren't quite a reserved name list, but they were, you know, basically a list that people could refer to and know that, you know, applying for these was really not a very good idea.
Now, I think we've got that covered in the GNSO because we have a recommendation number two says it has a confusing similarity there, so they could be challenged on that basis. And we didn't reserve two-character IDN script names. So we've got a method for handling that. Interestingly enough, that might be good information to pass on to the CCNSO as they're considering this, because it might be very helpful to them. If maybe they've already thought of that. But I'm not sure there's another place in this document to put that. Should we add something about that here, acknowledging that it's not addressed to this question, but does have to do with the reserve names list and a consideration that they might want to keep in mind? It seems like a helpful thing to communicate. Tina, what do you think about that? Is that helpful?
I think it is.
And for lack of another place to put it, would it be okay, people, do you think, to put it in here? Anybody opposed to that? Okay, so now we just need to put that into words. Olaf, can you help us maybe put some words around that so that Liz can capture them?
Well,
or do you want another alternative rather than putting on the spot right now? Would you be willing to just email Liz?
Yeah, I think I'd rather do that.
Okay, no, that's good, and that's probably quicker for us too.
Okay.
Email Liz some wording, and then Liz, you can put that in brackets or whatever, and we will go over that next week.
Yes,
okay.
Okay, going on to how many scripts per territory. And A is, can a territory apply for more than one IDN CCTLD string in different scripts if more than one script is used to represent languages spoken in that location? Now, I think this is the wording that you were looking for somewhere, Aubrey. Did you ever find it?
Yeah, I did.
Okay.
So long ago, I put it away.
Where was it?
Basically, it was... allocation of a limited number of IDN TLDs representing territories designated in the IDO 3166 that may have a special need, the DNSO Council. So it had the special need was the language.
Okay.
But it's actually not a sentence that can be lifted. So what we talked about, while we recognize that there are places that have a special need, but I didn't find a specific sentence that we could lift.
Oh, okay. Now, but I think we did talk about the idea of some, you know, allowing for some exceptions, right?
Mm-hmm.
Where there is a special need. So now the question is, now what we say here is if there are multiple scripts used in a territory, the best user experience would be to provide IDN TLDs in all of those scripts where feasible. Repeating, and then... the goal of IDN, go into user needs for how many years, and so on, like that. I don't know if we still want to say all that or not, but what about that first sentence? If there are multiple scripts used in a territory, the best user experience would be to provide IDN TLDs in all of those scripts where feasible. Or do you want to modify that to use the special needs type language?
Sorry, Chuck. Sidrin. Chuck?
Go ahead.
Sorry. So I've just been sort of reading, taking that in, and I may be backtracking a little. I apologize if I am, and please somebody stop. But why, if I'm just trying to sort of work out where this question fits within sort of like a fast-track scenario or the provisioning of the names, why couldn't we say they can only have one, and if they want more, they just simply go through GTLD process?
Well, for example, first of all, let's recognize that this issues paper really is for the broader CCNSO PDP process, not the
yes.
fast track.
So, okay, understood.
So that's the first answer to your question. Okay. Now that doesn't mean that we with regard to what's going on in the fast track, we can also apply what you're. I think that applies more with the IDNC work that's going on. Does that make sense?
Can you say that again?
The fast track issue that the IDNC is working on, it is a much more narrow and limited focus, and this issues paper was created for the bigger PDP. the policy development effort that CCNSO has embarked upon that's probably going to last a couple years. Not the fast track.
Yeah, I understand that. But
are you suggesting that we want to say that in the long-term policy that there should only be one per 3166 country code?
Well, I'm just thinking our biggest concern is trying to get these guys contractually bound with ICANN. The best way to do that is to try and push them towards the GTLD route, right? So if we're not going to win on the contract front, and maybe we will, so that'll be okay for the IDN territory top-level domain, why not just let them have one for now and then say, okay, you're entitled to have as many as you want. No one can oppose you because you are the legal entity of your country or whatever, and we've got the objection process in place. So why not just, for any others you want on top of that, go ahead and jump in the queue at the new TLD round.
Let me repeat something you've heard me say before. My fear, and it's a big fear on my part there, is that if we get a bunch of those kind of TLDs that are basically operated with government control or influence, strong influence, it could drastically change the complexion of the GNSO, something I don't think we want to happen. I would rather see them have multiple IDN script versions associated with their 3166 code and be focused towards that community of users that they have, not being used as a GTLD. Keep in mind we're saying elsewhere that if it's being used as a GTLD, they should have a contract. Than to have hundreds of these TLDs that all of a sudden are in the GNSO space, and we have this huge government influence in the GNSO space. Now, that's my own personal fear. Did that make
sense? I hear you. I understand the government being, but I think it's just going to happen. You're going to get, okay. I need to think about your point. Maybe we're getting off track here, but I just wanted to highlight, I mean, for mine, it's an easier answer, but you're right, it does have other ramifications that I haven't quite got my head around yet.
And they could be huge.
and they could be huge.
Yeah. Now, let's take the India example. It's a classic one in this case, but, I mean, there are others as well. But in India, obviously, I think it's easy to recognize that there's a need for some IDN TLDs associated with .in in multiple scripts. Are we opposed to that? I don't think we are we?
No.
So, is what we're saying here already okay? You know, that if there are multiple scripts used in a territory, the best user experience would be to provide IDN TLDs in all of those scripts where feasible. And then go on and say, I don't think we're repeating it anymore because I think we deleted that. The goal of IDNs is to meet user needs for many years. I don't know, again, we can debate whether we want to say all this, but we have recognized that a large majority of the world does not use English as a primary language, and therefore if we've worked to solve that problem. If we really want to meet user needs, why would we create restrictions that would prevent, keep in mind, I'm not talking about the fast track. If we really want to meet user needs, why would we create restrictions that would prevent us from doing that in certain circumstances, unless, of course, there are technical reasons relating to security, stability, and interoperability?
Okay, Chuck, you've got my full support if they're signing contracts with ICANN. And I know that's one of our provisos, but we might not get a hit on all of these. So if they're not going to sign a contract with ICANN and you're saying it's basically unlimited, you go ahead and do whatever you want, there's going to be a lot of crossover there. Well, that's the potential for crossovers. I'm just saying that's one of the issues we could have is if we miss out on contracts.
Well, and keep in mind that what so far in this group, what we've said is that if a TLD is being used as a de facto GTLD, then they need a contract like ours. We're not saying it in other cases where they're not being used as a GTLD. But keep in mind, if they're restricted to a meaningful representation or abbreviation of their territory...
Who's determining meaningful? Because the government of Tonga could tell us that dot television in French, in a they'll say Cyrillic or whatever, means Tonga. And who are we to argue?
Well,
if they want to try to generate some revenue.
And that's why we added that other example of Island X to be a little more explicit there. With regard to meaningful, and that it should address the language needs of the community and so forth. So you're right, we are backtracking a little bit here.
Yeah, I'll let it go. It was just an issue, and I guess just noting it that we just need to be prepared for missing a few of these specifications that we're putting in. Anyway, that's all right.
And we're also, let's just spend a couple of minutes on it, because we're also going back to discussions we had in previous meetings about, we can say all we want about requiring CCs to have contracts with ICANN, and we certainly are welcome to say it in this, but I don't think it's going anywhere. I mean, look how far it's gone so far. ICANN finally backed down and did these letters with them that are meaningless.
Yeah, but off the record conversation with somebody, as far as just a chat, I think it was, well, if you don't sign a contract with ICANN, you're not getting your IDN. I mean, Tina's probably got some ideas around that, but if that's the case, that's the impression I was given. That may not hold true or whatever, but that's certainly more comfort for me as a GNSO member.
Tina, you want to comment or you want to skip it?
I think I'll skip it for now. But Liz and I were just trying to, something happened to the text and we're just...
Yeah, Adrian, did you do something to the text? Because it shows your update and I can't find what was there before.
Oh, there's a whole lot of zeros on my screen. I thought you did it. I looked down, was I pressing on zero somewhere?
Yeah.
Oh, okay, I'll delete them. I'll delete the zeros.
You're creating lots of problems, Adrian.
Yeah, you know what? I'm going to shut up for the next hour. You guys go ahead.
No. We don't want you to do that. So
we
please.
We want to get back what we had before, though.
I'm working off a cut and paste following Adrian's suggestion from several weeks ago so that I don't mess anything up and it's easier for me to stay with it.
Okay, Chuck, just on that, I think Avery's going to have to tell us how to go back on a revision because I just realized I don't know how the hell I'm not even anywhere near my computer.
Chuck, if you have a copy paste of it, could you just send the whatever was in A, just send that to Liz and she can copy it back in again.
Okay.
Well, I actually I'm using the preceding.
Yeah. Looks like it's fine again.
Okay.
Sorry.
Let's evaluate where we're at here. I think then.
I have to give up the pen anyway, so this is the perfect time.
Okay. All right. Aubrey, can you take over the pen?
Yeah. Okay. Let me find where we are.
We're on how many scripts for territory? Unless I have misheard things, the original proposed GNSO response is okay. Is that right?
No.
Okay. Now, I didn't go over the last sentence, too, which had to do with the variance, too, which is in there. Okay, Aubrey?
Okay, now where is the text in O? At the moment, all I see is dashes in A.
Oh.
Okay.
Yeah, but we don't have the text.
Let me go back.
Hold on, I can send the, I will...
Oh, there, okay, revision 1252 was Adrian's, the 1251 is what we wanted.
Right.
Okay, I just loaded 1251. Now, is that correct? And if it is, I will save that and make that our current.
Yeah, 1251 is right, because we haven't made any changes since then. I just didn't have to save it as the current.
Okay, let me try saving. Can I save that? Revert to this one. There's a button. Revert to this one. Are you sure you want to revert to this revision? Liz, I am sure I want to revert to 1251?
Yes.
Okay. I have reverted to 1251.
This is fun. I'll be sure to do this every 10 minutes or so.
Thank you.
So is everybody okay? Are we okay now, or should I try and send the document that I have?
We're
okay.
Fine.
Well, I'll
I think we're back.
Yeah, no, we're fine.
Okay.
I think we're fine.
Okay, good. All right.
Okay.
So now, back to my question. Let's look at the proposed GNSO response that was there already. It's been there for several months. Okay? What do we want to change in that?
Okay. Yeah, I thought, I guess I've been talking about dealing with the best user experience issue.
But in this case, we're referring to a specific user experience.
But in this case, it seems like we're advocating creating as many IDNs, CCTLDs as possible.
So maybe we can fix the language a little bit so it doesn't come across that way, because I think you're right in that. At the same time, we're supportive where there are special needs for that to be done. So how can we, and that's what I'm asking now, how can we fix this language to deal with that issue and any others that we...
Actually, it says IDN TLDs. It doesn't say IDN CCTLDs there in our response.
Right, and I think that was intentional,
right.
Because it was a general principle that was being stated there.
Indeed.
But
no, I think it's trying to develop something in those cases of territories or communities with a special need for a multiple for IDN CTTLDs mapped to the ISO 3166-1 codes in multiple scripts. This should be possible. Something like that.
Let me get over to the...
So I wrote basically just in those cases of territories or communities with a special need for IDN CCTLDs mapped to ISO 3166-code in multiple scripts, this should be possible. It's an awkward sentence that needs to be wordsmithed. So in other words, we're keeping to, because I think we did make a sort of decision that sort of said, while one would be best, we recognize that in some cases that's not possible, that the political realities are such, special needs are such, so that, you know.
Okay, so...
So perhaps just another way of doing it is using multiple scripts in... those cases of territories, and I still learn to spell, communities with suspended money should be allowed. How's that as a sentence?
I'm trying to get to the live document where you're at so I can see what you did.
Yeah, I've written three possibilities now. Two possibilities. There's the first one. There's the second one.
Oops. It just just going to jump around on me, so I'm not even going to try.
Okay, basically, using multiple skips in those cases, or in the case of a territory or a community with a special need should be allowed in those cases. With special needs should be allowed. That's kind of what we were saying.
Yeah.
We weren't going so far as to say, well, gee, you know, they should have them in every possible one.
How is that different, though, than the first sentence? If there's multiple scripts used, the best user experience would be to provide IDMTLDs in all those scripts.
There are 43, as far as I understand it, there's something like between 20 and 40 languages used in California. Therefore, you know, and probably an equivalent number in the U.S., so we'd be saying in that first phrase that the United States should be able to have CCTLDs in every script that we produce a driver's license manual in, because those languages are in use, and we have some states that have made them, you know, legal languages for doing business in the state in. And so that would allow, you know, over 20 or 30 CCTLDs for the U.S.
But wouldn't your rewording also allow it? I mean, they're just going to argue it's a special need. It's a legal language in this part of the world. We, you know, we need to support it. Yeah, I don't.
Yeah, I mean, you could be right. What we were trying to deal with was things like, you know, India, where people would rise up in the streets and riot if they picked one versus the other.
Yeah, I have never been a proponent to talk about a certain number. I think it has to do with what is the need. But I think sort of first sentence in this and your two proposed revisions, I don't think they're going to change anything about the U.S. being capable of claiming that they have a special need because they have the formal languages. And other places in the world are going to do the same thing. So if you want to try to eliminate something like a U.S. situation with 40-plus labels, I don't think these revisions are making that restriction.
I understand.
Yeah, you know, I'm not...
Yeah, no, I understand you're not advocating a position. You're just saying that the wording don't do it.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. Is this a situation where we need to advocate additional work rather than taking it, that we're supporting of meeting the needs of a territory, the various script needs of a territory? But this is an issue that has lots of implications and deserves further attention, something like that. I guess we're kind of punting a little bit on it if we go that approach, but I'm starting to sense that may be the best we can do here. Somebody have some other suggestions? Because Adrian's point's valid, too, that, you know, again, we don't want this to just be an unlimited number. I think he's saying the same thing, at least in part of what Aubrey's saying here. So
right. Yeah,
how
I'm just
do
trying
we put
to allow
some
three
limitations on it while at the same time showing some flexibility?
Okay, so basically we should add a sentence, and maybe we can come back to it, add something that restricts to, restrict somehow. And we have to figure out that.
In later discussions, we talked about tying it to official languages, and that didn't work. I think the more discussion we had, the more I saw that didn't seem to work.
U.S.
Aubrey,
doesn't have an official language.
Yeah. You had talked about relating it back to currency, and I think Adrian commented that doesn't work in all cases. I'm not sure that works for us either. But is there some way we can show flexibility and still not have this wide open game? there anybody that would be willing to take a crack at this and come up with some wording and put it into the document in the next few days, this week, and then we can take a look at it next week.
I'll take a crack at it. I've been arguing about it enough.
Okay. If you'll do that, that'll be great, and we will review it next week. Any other...
Avery, in the meantime, if you want to bounce that to me, I'm happy to help help
okay,
get something
sure.
together.
Yeah, let's work on it together then.
That's a good suggestion.
Could I just provide some food for thought here, because they bring up a particular, very particular and rather odd example, which is the Japanese language, because that's one language. And using three scripts as defined, the kanji, the hiragana, and the katakana, and normally for expressing Japan, in Japanese, you would use two kanji characters. But you could express the same thing, theoretically, in three hiragana characters, and very theoretically in three katakana characters to make the same sound. Well, would that be, but normally, that's especially with katakana, which you only use for loan words from abroad, it would be, the Japanese would never do that. But should that be a possibility?
Wouldn't that be confusingly similar?
Well, that's, or should it be considered as variants to be avoided and things like that? But it's actually, well, it is a slightly different question that they give, provide in the example. I mean, it's, to me, it's much more that, all right, In the case of Japanese, of course, it's obvious that you would allow script mixing between the three scripts that are used for the language, but that's sort of not exemplifying the original question in A, to my mind.
Yeah, but it's basically any time we've got more than one way to represent the same sound, we've entered very much the confusingly similar world.
True.
Yeah, and whatever we do on this one, it seems to me that we do want something, the basic contents of that last sentence with regard to variants.
From that perspective, it should probably be kept, the very last sentence, yeah.
Okay, yeah, so I'll unbracket that one.
Yeah, I think that's a good idea. And you can tell by what we're talking about right now, some of what we're talking about is probably a variant issue. Some of it's not, but some of it is. So, okay. Then, what's the matter? Why is my document not scrolling? Oh. Word.
Okay. In what circumstances would it be appropriate to introduce a limit on the number of scripts a territory may choose?
Having trouble manipulating my Word document. What's going on here? Okay.
Yeah, I'm not doing anything to that.
No, I know that. That's why I'm puzzled. Okay. Where are we? Okay. So now we're in question B, right? Which is, in what circumstances would it be appropriate to seek to introduce a limit on the number of scripts a territory may choose to introduce for a CCTLD or any TLD with a national connection? Now, this answering this one may help deal with what we're talking about in the California example and some things like that. I think at least part of the response that's already there still seems to be valid. Obviously, if there's any security, stability, interoperability issues, that's certainly a reason. Now we get into national government again, which I suspect we're going to want to change with regard to policy issues. And they're trying to develop policies, so maybe that's not even needed here. One of the things that came up in the working group that worked on this response was is that, you know, is it possible in some territory, country, that one language is more official than another? And what they were getting at, I think, was, you know, maybe government agencies and so forth represented in one script would be recognized as more official than in another script, even though they both scripts may be used in the country. So I think at least the first sentence of that response is still valid. The question is, what do we want to add to it?
I think the second sentence should be not confusion, user confusion might be another issue, but I think that could be strengthened to, you know, they must not cause user confusion.
That's good. I think that's I think it is better to make that stronger. Anybody disagree with that? Okay. So that's good. So you can go ahead and make that change. I don't know if we want to include any of the rest of that stuff there, but we may want to add something in place of it. Suggestions?
This is Tina. I don't think you want to add the rest because there certainly is some cases where you cannot talk about one language being more official than the other.
Yeah.
And governments can't make that choice because they all are considered equal. So.
Yeah. I'm leaning the same way to deleting the last two sentences there. Anybody opposed to that? Okay, now is there something else that we want to add to that answer?
Do we need the clause in the first sentence that says we're not aware of any such reasons at this time? They're saying what would be a reason? Well, an obvious reason would be, you know, I don't... It's not for us to say whether there is such a reason or not. That's BSEC guys and all them to do that. I mean, I can leave it in.
Am I in the same place as you?
Yes, the previous sentence. The most obvious reasons for limiting the number of scripts would be technical to ensure stability, at least security stability and interoperability, but we're not aware.
Oh, I see. What you're saying is do we need to
have that, but we're not aware of any response such reasons.
We may not need that. I mean... I don't think I am aware of any, but Tina, are you?
No, I'm not saying there are any. It's just that, do we need the clause?
We don't necessarily need it. Anybody?
No, I'm going for short answers.
Anybody opposed to deleting that last clause, the but clause there in the first sentence?
I think that may be the safe option to delete the last one. I mean, what happens if we... Well, there are not 10,000 scripts, but if there were...
Yeah, okay. Okay.
Leave that up to EdSec, you know.
Yeah, so that's okay to delete it then. And then you've got the stronger sentence that follows that on user confusion. Do we want to say anything else here, or is that sufficient?
Okay.
All right.
Somebody thinks of something later. We can add it and come back.
All right. C, can a territory apply for an IDN CCTLD string even if the script is not used in a language with any official status in that territory, for example? And we come back to the Japanese example. And then also an Australian example. Can Australia apply for a representation of Australia in that script, even though neither the script nor any language deriving from it has any official status in Australia? Sorry about the rudeness there, disrespectful opening, Adrian.
I didn't know a better way to say that, but it just felt like you were standing there with your hands on your hips saying, as stated twice already.
The intent really was more to say, hey, we're repeating ourselves here so that people, you know, if they see that we're saying the same thing over again, but it point's well taken, so don't worry about it.
But in this case, I'm not sure that we're in that same positional. I don't think we're arguing that position quite anymore.
Yeah, that's true, yeah.
I mean, because we basically said that it's okay to have multiples if there's a special need, and we want to limit that. So this one would be, I guess, if there's a special need.
So is this just a yes?
Why yes?
Australia can always apply for whatever. The question is more whether they should be granted one.
Okay. Right. I think so far we've been saying...
No, go ahead.
I think so far we've been saying no.
I don't think that's what I was going to say. I thought you guys were trying to limit it, and now you're saying, oh, yeah, you can have anything you want. So, I don't know. If you're saying yes to this one, then you're...
We're not limiting.
That's not what you tried to do above. And I'm not saying either one is better or worse. I'm just saying it's contradicting.
I think that we have to say no.
I'm for no.
I'm for yes.
Maybe. What about maybe?
By the way, I was serious. I'm just being facetious. If Australia's got, various, languages that are used in its country quite frequently, it seems to me that .au and versions of that should be able to be provided in those scripts.
But how do you ratify, if it's unofficial, how do you ratify it? I think you're opening a can of worms and you just don't want it.
Yes, this is the one that opens the way to the name of your country in every possible script. And why wouldn't you, if you can have the name of your country in every possible script, and it's not costing you anything, there's no contract, and there's no, why not?
Is this the one that speaks to that says Australia is made up of many different multicultural groups, and that if the Japanese community within Australia wanted to have .Australia in Japanese, they should be allowed to?
Yeah.
See, in my personal opinion, that doesn't wash. It doesn't even spin dry, but... I'll shut up.
Been trying as strong.
And what help me understand our rationale there. Why really are we concerned about that? Because they're
my
not paying
concern,
anything because they don't have a contract?
Contract.
Yeah, Olga, you were trying to say.
Yeah, my concern is that if a country does have other languages than the official one. How can you know that? And maybe they apply for as many as they want because there is some entrepreneur in the country that's promoting that, and that will really be quite confusing for everyone. I made this question in our last telephone conference. What if a country that doesn't need an IDN because it's not using a different script and its comfort with the present CCTLD in the ISO list would apply for as many other strings just because they think that they are not official but they like them. That's my concern. That's why I would say no.
Let me tell you where I'm coming from. I'm looking at it from a GTLD side, and maybe that's where I'm off base. But we have approaching 1 million second-level IDN names in .com and .net, most of which the users really would have liked to have had a full IDN experience, for obvious reasons. Why shouldn't they be able to have that experience? Now, that's a GTL, that's on the GTLD side, and if we're going to treat that differently, my concern is being inconsistent. If I believe that on the GTLD side, how can I turn around to the CCNSO and say it's not the same for them?
Well, in one respect that's different is you are having to go through a whole lot of hurdles, prove a lot of things, pay a fair amount of money, establish business practices, and go through quite a few checks and balances before you can do that.
And that's what I was looking for when I said, okay, what's our thinking here, so that I'm trying to make sure I have it so that I can, in my mind, so that I can articulate it. And that makes sense to me, okay? So that's helpful.
See, I think at some point we really start to have a problem with, you know, one of the core values of ICANN, which is, you know, promote fair competition wherever possible. And at a certain point, when you have basically told governments, especially many of them that are used to telecom monopolies, that this whole wild open field is available to them.
Yeah.
The ability of anyone else to compete is just shot.
Okay, you convinced me. I concede.
Of a competition argument.
So is our answer here just no?
I would say no.
Oh, this is Edmund. Sorry, I joined the call about 40 minutes ago. Shouldn't we say it really depends? Because if you apply for it and then the process for the application and process for, you know, granting it has those things in place to avoid the situation where we really want to avoid it, then the answer to the question itself is, you know, it depends, right? Because we're talking about an application from them and how that is processed and what requirements for them to be granted. That seems to be the crux of the what we, you know, the part of the answer rather than just a simple yes or no.
Comments on that? Thanks for joining us, Edmund. So say it again. It depends on what?
It depends on the process required for granting an IDNC CTLD.
And would we then maybe have to elaborate on that a little bit?
We could go, for example.
Have we already talked about it before? Like,
no.
I don't think so. Yeah.
Where do we talk about, you know, the contracts and that they should have?
It has to do with de facto GTLDs. So we definitely talked about that and it may come up again, but not in this context, I don't think. Do we want to say something like it depends on the process?
I don't know, because from what I hear, the main thing that we're worried about is that they get all these CCTLDs and it's sort of not fair. But if they go through a process whereby, okay, it is not official and there are these issues, but if you do really want it, you can go through a process that's similar to a GTLD, but we will still put you under the CCNSO. Then, you know, perhaps that's something we can live with.
Yeah. Comments? Others?
I thought that the concern went back to something completely different, and that is to say, let's say there's, X number of languages in the world and multiply that with the number of existing TLDs, GTLDs and CCTLDs. That turns into a big total number, and so if we're going to end up with that, there might be a technical concern, and there is also going to be an administrative concern from the ICANN standpoint, or IANA standpoint of processing the applications or whatever you want to call it.
Yeah, well, that would be, I think if we took anything other than no, then I think we have to add the same clauses, you know, that we have in other places about security and confusability. And as we had a standard of, you know, security and confusability even on national scripts. So I think you're right. I think if we say anything other than no, we need to add, you know, a clause that says, of course, you know.
And, Edmund, are you advocating that we, that approach, the latter approach?
I'm just not comfortable. I feel uncomfortable saying, you know, that a definitive no, because I can easily think of situations that there might be legitimate reasons for trying to do this, but a particular language does not have, I guess, quote unquote, official status. Whether that immediately then jumps into being a GTLD is, you know, I just, you know, really think it's just, I guess, stepping back from what Tina's comment, I don't think that's really, it should be a big issue, and it also depends on, you know, how the application process is. If there is a, let's say there is a, hypothetically, there's an application fee or an application deposit, then, you know, there's some barrier there, and there's no different from, you know, opening up the GTLD space where, I mean, you can have a million applications. So I don't think we can justify by saying that, you know, oh, then if you times by 200, so times, let's say, I don't know how many languages, total 300 or 400, that's an unmanageable number. I don't think that's a good argument to fall. No,
now let me make a suggestion here, because we're coming up on 2 hours, and I don't want to go beyond that if possible, or at least not very much beyond it. Edwin, would you be willing this week, and hopefully by Friday, to draft some proposed language that would accommodate what you're talking about and enter it into the Google document, and then we'll come back to this next week?
Yeah, just to say where we're at now while you're thinking, Edmund. At the moment, we've got three answers in there. We've got a quick one, no, in brackets. We've got, it depends on the process required for granting an IDN CCTLD. For example, if a process similar to that developed for GTLDs exists for CTLDs, then it may be dot, dot, dot. And that's the one that I guess he'd be asking you to rewrite and say what you wanted to say. And then there's the impolite yes, which, while impolite, was the one that said, sure, if you want them, that's cool. First of all, do I leave all three?
No,
for
you
now?
Should delete the yes. I conceded, remember?
Okay, you conceded on the yes. So now we're between a no and a maybe. Okay.
So I think we should, and I agree that we should start with, you know, generally speaking, it should be no. But, and then go on.
So are you willing to take a crack at that, Edmund?
Sure.
And then get it in this week, please. That'll give a few days in before, again, our meeting's on Tuesday, so that would give a couple days for people to review it. So that we can kind of wrap up at a meaningful place, let's very quickly look at D. If official status is required, sorry about that, you won't be able to hear me. Good, my wife. Oh, wrong. If a status is required, who will define it and who will define it in each case? And the response that was in there before was this question should be answered by the CCNSO and the GAC, and we could say related and related and the related community that are involved in the CCTLD. Thoughts? Should we change that? I know we probably don't want to say in the governments, but. If we modify that and the related community that are all involved in the CCTLDs, does that work?
I guess my only recommendation was ISO. Oh, and then someone went ISO on the local internet community.
Well, but ISO's not going to do that. Is my concern.
That's right.
There.
ISO's not going to do it. I can live with the answer.
Yeah, I mean, don't you agree with me? I mean, all the evidence right now, and Tina can comment on this, is that if they did do it, it's years down the road. Is that right, Tina?
Yeah, I think that's right.
Yeah, countries do define their own official languages.
I like the answer how it is, Chuck.
Except for, do we want to change, modify?
I already changed communities.
Yeah, yeah. As it appears now, that's been. Oh, you're not looking at the live document, Chuck, but Avery is spontaneously changing and has fixed the document.
Okay. Yeah, I'm not. I wouldn't be able to stay on top of the meeting. So anyway, okay. Then what we've got then is this will be our takeoff point next week. Again, we made some good progress. I think, by the way, I kind of glanced ahead a little bit. We've got some easier ones coming up, and we'll probably be able to make pretty good progress next week. We still may need the 29th, but any comments or questions before I adjourn?
I'd like to suggest, I mean, a lot of us wrote comments, but now some of us have actually been doing wordsmithing in our heads. And so I'd like to suggest that anyone that thinks they have an answer for something, go in. And then already got some words to play with.
Okay. All right, good. Yeah, no, I think so feel free to do that, everyone. And I know, as you know, I went in last week and inserted a couple things just to facilitate things, and I think that
instead of adding comments, try to actually just put some words in it so then we can just talk about the words.
Good suggestion. Okay, anything else? All right. Well, then the meeting is adjourned. We'll
1 o'clock in the morning. Yay!
I'll do my best not to delete the document in the meantime.
Thank you, Adrian. We do appreciate that.
Thank
it's
you.
It's cool how you can recover. It's cool that
yes,
you can
it is.
Recover.
Okay. Bye.
Okay.
Bye.